The Chris Moyle Show. BBC Radio 1.
Michael McIntyre is here.
He has come to see us at BBC Radio Essex.
Yeah, where I've been waiting, because I did, like you suggested, I might at 6 o'clock this morning come very early, mainly because you moved the show 38 miles out. Yeah, but that's okay.
Sorry.
What I didn't appreciate was the email that said, Chris is a stickler for punctuality. He has been known to throw guests off the show if they arrive late.
Is that true? Does that email go out now?
True.
You moved it to Essex.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But I made it. I've been in reception for an hour.
But sorry.
But they can't pick up Radio 1.
But you see, because
there's some bloke on reception moving the aerial around, and you can't get it. It's a really bad signal. I said, why don't we just move up the corridor and listen in for ourselves?
Just open the door.
Yeah.
When we had you in last time, you were so punctual. In fact, you turned up early, which was a major sort of tick mark on your name, which is why we thought that we had to raise the bar and test you, and therefore move our show to see if you could still be as punctual. And you succeeded.
I absolutely totally made it. Well, it's a pleasure to be in Essex.
We're looking forward to you coming to our Poland outside broadcast.
Live from Warsaw.
I'm just slightly shocked that the people who normally work here are moved elsewhere.
No, they're not. So,
they didn't need this studio anyway.
There's been some pretty grumpy people showing up for work. Who do they think they are? These London big shows. Obviously, they weren't speaking quite like that.
Well, maybe they do. It is the BBC. Wherever you go, they all talk like that.
Well, like, there's a regional DJ voice, isn't there?
What, a BBC voice?
Hi, Michael. You're welcome to Radio Somerset and stuff. Because I did a series of these things for my book yesterday where they pass me on to different people.
Is this where you sit in one booth and voices just appear in your
All the voices are the same. It's like, okay, I'm ringing off now. Say hi to Dave. Hi, I'm Dave. Did you enjoy Sam? It's like, wait, you're the same guy?
It's slightly mid-Atlantic, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know where it comes. But what I love, can I just say what I love about this show? Is that you ease people into the day, just like how this is how most people wake up, but they're not wide awake.
No.
They don't, you know, breakfast DJs, they're like, morning, what's in the papers? You literally go, oh, I've got a terrible hangover. And it takes you a while to get going, just like everybody else.
Believe it or not,
I very much enjoy
we're not even fully wide awake yet.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, completely.
I'm never hungover. Never.
How was last night?
Do you know what? We had a good laugh last night. Mm. It was very good.
What happened?
We went to Nando's and then we went to the Slug and Lettuce across the road.
But we had a giggle, it was fun.
Yeah. Was there any part of the night more exciting than getting free soft drinks in Nando's?
We got, now I feel bad if I mention the Nando's story.
You don't have to mention all of it. They were lovely and they looked...
Oh, no, they were lovely. They were lovely.
Was there an issue in Nando's, Chris?
There was... do you know what? No, it was fine. No, they were great.
Split second decision making.
On the soft drink front, you know, you said about where you get your glass and then you have to go and get your bottomless soft drink. And actually, that was my allocated job because we were in a booth and I was the one closest to the machine and people couldn't get out, so I was in.
But don't you find that even though you've got endless soft drinks, that the possibility excites you?
Absolutely.
You end up not even finishing the initial drink.
I was even more excited by the prospect of delivering it to other people, not even myself.
Yeah. But it's annoying because you want to take advantage of free... You just go wild with the prospect. Maybe I could live here and live on a combination of Sprite and Coke and Diet Coke.
But do you know what it does, though? The nice, the free soft drink top-up thing is good for... Because when you don't have that option... Because I was brought up to be such a good boy, believe
that shows,
it or not.
That's obvious.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, if I normally fill up the drink, and then I always like to have a little sip and top it up a little bit, and I always feel guilty. So
you replace the sips?
Yeah.
You sip and then top up?
Well, I top it up, and then I have a sip, and then I just top it up again, and then I walk back to the table. And I always feel a bit guilty because I've had a little bit more than I should have done.
Oh, yeah, when you're at there.
But when it's free top-ups, I go crazy, mate.
But when you're carrying the drinks, do you sip from others?
I don't carry the drinks, so someone do that for me.
That's
Dave. Yeah, staff.
It was Dave.
He's nearest.
Yeah, Dave last night.
I say staff, I mean me, essentially.
So, Michael, listen.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Hi, Michael.
Did you, like, play a bit of music, then?
It's like a DJ.
In every once in a while. Like a DJ, I love that.
Michael's book is called Life and Laughing, My Story.
I had a dog with a massive head.
You really did, according to Dave.
It's got the biggest head in the world. And granted, it's because the dog's head is very much in the forefront.
It's a massive head.
Yeah, but it looks like it's some kind of bear dog.
Yeah. You know what that dog was called? Moose.
Nice.
Moose. Big Great Dane called Moose.
So it was a big dog.
It was a massive dog. It's got
a head like a planet.
The stupidest dog as well. He used to go eat a party trick where he would go under the table and stand up.
Hello.
He never came to terms with the fact that he would whack his massive head on the table and everything on the table would fall over and we'd all laugh even though, you know, things would be broken.
Yeah.
And we would do it. People would come round, Moose, do your thing. He would go under the table, stand up completely dazed.
It's a dog with a massive head.
Yeah.
And there's a photo of you and Lucy and your dad and your Great Dane called Moose at your dad's countryside abode in Hertfordshire.
That's right, yeah.
Now, your dad, from what I gather, and I haven't read all the book, and I don't know if it gets explored this bit, but your dad loved that dog with all his heart, because I think in the background, is there a picture of the dog in a frame, a drawing?
No, that's a cow.
Oh, really?
It looks like a... You can only see half of its face.
It looks like your dog.
Yeah. I know, but it's a cow that looks like the dog.
Well, I also
but he
heard,
did love the dog.
Yeah, and he loved the cow too.
Yeah, he loved the cow too. Yeah.
He did love the dog enough to have pictures of the dog, but the cow...
The cow was very special.
The cow got the photo treatment.
So you were reading some of my book. Is that... You read a bit.
I've read a good bit.
Did you find yourself reading it in your impression of me in your head?
Yes. I'm really sorry.
Do you want to do a bit?
No. I tell you what.
Did you walk back and forth across the room as you read it?
Did you lie in the bed or were you walking around in a pink shirt?
Do you know what? Sam, weirdly, she came into my hotel room last night to lend me a phone charger and she goes, are you reading Michael's book? And I said, yeah. She goes, how is it? I went, I can't help but hear Michael's voice in my head as I'm reading the words.
Yeah.
But my version of you...
I know, that's what I just said.
It is. And do you know what I really like as well? Is the fact that you live, I think, or unless you've moved, you live up the road from where I used to live.
Where
all these references. I used to live in Belsize Park.
Right.
So there's in London. So there's all these references to certain roads and certain shops. Yeah. And I'm there going, yeah, I know. And I'm like, this is so good for me. I know everywhere, you know. And then there's a bit where Michael pretty much goes, do you know what? I think I kind of told you enough about where I live now. Because he kind of, bar saying the number of the house, you know. But there's a bit where he goes to buy some paint, and I've been to the same place to buy paint.
But that's nice.
Oh, you've been to the O2.
No, to the Farrell Ball place.
Oh, you know, I know we're on air to millions and millions of people, but I'm disappointed with the Farrell Ball paint, ultimately.
Oh, really?
Are you?
It's not great. It's not great.
Oh.
I've had to change. I mean, I should be talking about brands. I should. Oh. I mean, I'm getting looks from Aled. But
I mean, the thing is, I mean, I've heard a lot of people who are very, very happy. Happy with it, and
in fact, they
love it.
Is it like is it the one particular? Is it Bringer 222 or something?
Yeah, I've had to have it redone like twice, and then I had to match it.
Now you're going to have to change, which now you're going to change the book because you've written about it in the book.
You know when people go to the home base, and they take Alan would go with his rugby top, and he says, "I want my walls to be this colour exactly," and they match it. Yeah. I've had to take my actual wall and say, "Can you give me the same colour by a different?" Make, please.
It's funny you should say that because my friend had completely the opposite story where he bought said paint and he put it on and he loved it. Oh, it was amazing.
Is that you balancing the story?
Yeah. One coat. He said he'd never need to paint it again.
I have that in my kitchen, that makeup paint, and a friend of mine walked in one day and spotted it and recognised it from the colour.
Really?
And I'm like, how would you... How do you know that? How do you walk in, not just know the colour, but you know the make of the paint?
That's insane.
That's on my wall.
Yeah. How do they come up with the colours as well? I mean, that's...
I don't know.
Are you going to balance everything? When Chris says, I really enjoyed the book.
Absolutely. I'm going to say it was rubbish.
I thought it was absolute nonsense.
I thought it was rubbish.
What an overrated person.
Yeah, Michael's book is out. So is Simon Pegg's.
Yeah. I thought the pictures were disappointing. And actually, when you look at the picture, the dog's head isn't that big after all.
Your face hasn't changed.
I know it hasn't.
No, it really hasn't changed, though.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
The funny thing is that I say that about other people, and I never realised it about myself. My wife's sister, there's a photo of her when she's about 6 years old, and she's got exactly the same face she has now that you know, all these years later. And I suppose, I've had the same face and the same hair. But the only reason I've got the same hair is that I did experiment with other hair, and I looked truly awful. Truly.
Have you really explained? Because in every photo in
there's
the
book... There's a bit in the book where I grow my hair because there's a cool guy at school who gets all the girls and he's got this sort of shoulder-length hair, so I decided that's what I needed to do.
Is there photo evidence?
There is, but it was so embarrassing that I actually left it out. Despite my wife kept saying, you've got to put that in. It makes you look hilarious. And I was like, I don't want to look that bad at any stage.
So your hair's...
I tried to grow it out, but what happened is my hair does not... I mean, you can see that it's quite bouncy. Yeah. It doesn't... It never fell. It just kept going up. It kept going up until I gave up. It never did that gravity thing that went, oh, now I've got long hair.
Right.
It just kept going up and up and up until...
I know exactly.
And then what I did is I didn't want to ruin the fact that I'd gone through 6 months of hair growing. So I said to the hairdresser, is there any way you can style it but leave the length? What I didn't know is I was inadvertently asking for a mullet. And I ended up with a mullet, which I didn't know was a mullet because I'd come around in this weird way to the mullet.
You have the same hair as me, actually, where it's just very, very straight. Yeah, and when it grows...
Almost
it's just
the same colour.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's very similar kind of hair to
totally
me.
The same hair.
We've got the same hair. we're hair...
We're just two guys.
We're hair doubles.
With the same hair.
Exactly. Two men, same hair.
In Essex.
In the...
I watched a bit of that show because I said, why is Chris Moores going to Essex?
Yeah.
And they mentioned that there's this show on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I watched a bit. It's sort of like in preparation. I Sky-plussed it.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's real. Is it real?
It's called Dramality, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's not real. That's just not real.
They're real people. And they're real, with cameras filming.
Can you go for a bid? He's like, I found it quite funny. Go for a bid.
It's good to watch.
What do your eyebrows? I liked it when did you see the one where they were role playing for the speed dating?
I missed that one. Oh, I can't believe it was on Wednesday.
I'll be the bird. I'll be the bird, yeah? I'll be the bird. All right? And you, go on, you check me up. All right, I'll be the bird. And he went, what's your name? He went, Susie. He did no hesitation. He had it all. So what's your name? Susie. I'll be the bird.
So some of our favourite clips. Let me play you this. Here we go. I'm going to play a clip of a girl from that show saying her name. You tell me what her name is. She says her name.
All right, cool.
You tell me what her name is.
Game My play. Name's Samantha Bailey Buffers.
Samantha Bailey Buffers?
Okay.
Is that right?
It sounds like Samantha Available for Affairs.
And listen, no, don't put any thoughts in his head. Okay, right, one more time.
My name's Samantha Bailey Buffers.
Yeah, absolutely Available for Affairs.
My name's Samantha
Affairs. Yeah, Samantha Available for Affairs.
Okay, now, where's
what
Sam?
What a fantastically
Sam
named
here
person.
Or not? It's all there, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all she is.
Me. Yeah. Does exactly Sam, what it says on the tin.
Sam's our producer from Essex. She goes, can you seriously not hear what she's saying? It's so clear. It's crystal clear what she's saying. Mm-hmm. She's saying her name. Okay, I'm going to play it one more time.
My name's Samantha Affairs.
What's her name, Michael?
Samantha Available for Affairs.
Okay, Sam... Tell Michael what this girl's name is.
Samantha Elizabeth Fairs.
Oh.
My name's Samantha Elizabeth Fairs.
I still don't hear
No, Elizabeth. Thank you, Michael.
There's no Elizabeth.
There isn't.
There is.
Only you
My
can hear it.
Samantha Elizabeth Fairs.
No. There's no
Thank
Elizabeth.
You.
There's no letter from the word Elizabeth. You're nowhere near that.
Can you not hear it?
Samantha Elizabeth Fairs.
No, it's something like Samantha Failabafire.
No.
Maybe her name is that fast. Maybe she's been given a name that you have to say like that. My name is an ambiguity name.
Right.
Maybe the parents discussed it and said, let's give her a name, and she's got to say it really fast, and everybody knows what the hell she's saying. We're going to call her. Maybe in the christening, the priest had to go, and her name is Samantha Failabafire.
Because they had another christening straight afterwards, and they had to hurry with it.
Her name's Samantha Failabafire. Fairs.
It is available for affairs.
No, it isn't.
Elizabeth. You've seen the show.
Elizabeth.
That's the kind of thing they would have as their name.
No, it
I'm
isn't.
Taking the fat from my bum and I'm putting it in my boobs.
Absolutely not. Well, maybe.
Or my lips.
What a great name for a girl, though. Yeah. Well, that would be, wouldn't it? Hello, my name is taking the fat from my bum and putting my boobs. Nice to meet you. I'll be a hell of a christening. And then there's also this clip, which we like as well.
There were curds everywhere. You know, when you look around, you think, she's fit, she's fit, she's fit. Just everywhere you looked, it's a fit bird.
Yeah.
Like being in
Marbella
again.
There you go. It's like being in Marbella again. Michael, the next tour, just watch this show, you'll get the entire tour.
Yeah.
The entire next tour from one show.
With my warm-up at Samantha Venabuffers.
My name's Samantha Venabuffers.
Sam, you're right.
Sam,
you doing
what?
There you go.
Yeah, what?
All right. All right. You having a bid?
Never had any surgery. I've got my own hair.
Oh,
And it's weird. She doesn't say she's got her own boobs or her own lips. She's got her own hair.
That's amazing. Yeah, they do say natural a lot. I've had my boobs done. I've had my face done. My teeth done. I'm totally natural.
I've never touched my eyes. I won't.
Sorry, can I just point out before we go on? Are we safe here doing these jokes?
Oh yeah, fine.
You know you've planted us in the heart of Essex.
Because Michael, and let me explain.
There are people gathering like in Hitchcock's The Birds.
No. With stones and big sticks.
Oh my God, Samantha, available for fairs, is outside in the taxi.
Because as Sam will point out, these people are just, they are the tiny minority of Essex people.
Yes.
The rest of Essex aren't like this. Isn't that right, Sam?
No.
Okay.
I love Essex, by the way, and I love South End. That's in Essex, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I love gigging in South End. There's a road that goes to South End, which is like the best shopping street if you have 995 to spend on a car.
I tell you what, I've noticed this actually in Essex driving through. They have more car dealerships than I've ever seen in any other county.
It's unbelievable.
Weirdly, on like most corners, they have like cars.
But none of them are worth a grand.
Well, again, to balance out, I've seen some car dealerships. Now they have some fine automobiles, some of which are very, very tasteful and very expensive.
I saw a car painted in Farrow and Ball paint and it was awful.
I saw a car painted in Farrow and Ball paint. It was great.
It was great. It was the best painted car I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God. Farrow and Ball have joined the masses outside.
Other cars and paints are available.
Indeed.
Oh. Right, I need to. We need to take a break and do the news, and then come back and have more chat with Mr. Michael McIntyre. That's slipping his water there. His book is called Life and Laughing, and has a picture of him on the front from when he was six, dressed up in a suit. The book's out now.
It's out from yesterday.
From yesterday.
You can't get it yesterday though, because it's now today. But from today,
why do they bring him out on a Thursday?
It's Super Thursday.
Is that what it is?
That's what they keep saying.
Thursday.
Super Book Thursday. The book's out, and I'm heading to Birmingham after this to sign copies.
Oh.
Can't wait.
That's a lovely thing. Have you done DVD signings before?
No. I had my first ever signing yesterday in Selfridges.
How was that? How many baby wipes did he go through?
No. What you're implying here is that I don't trust the cleanliness of my Fanatics.
No. I'm saying I don't trust the cleanliness. No, what it is after shaking, because I did my signing, I shook everyone's hand. I can't help it. I either hug or I shake hands.
Yeah.
And after 20 people, you start to go, my hands are getting really clammy.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's them or me. And the next person I shake their hand, are they going to go, I met Chris Moore yesterday, his hand was really clammy.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, so that's why.
Yeah. No, of course, it's a very fun thing to do, to meet everybody. And, they queue up, so you have to, you really want to chat with everybody.
Was there anybody there going, move along, Michael, you want to speed it up a little bit? Did you have any of that?
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. Because there was one girl, she said, I have come all the way from South Africa to meet you. And she said, can I have a photo?
Why did she do it in that voice? She's from Darlington? What is that?
She said, I've come from South Africa to meet you. Can I have a photo? And they were saying no photos. But then I was like, she's come all the way from South Africa. So then she came in for the photo. She came back behind the thing with the book. And I just whispered to her, have you really come from South Africa? She went, no.
That's great.
Are you doing a signing today, did you say?
Yeah. Birmingham Waterstones.
Okay, you know now. You're going to hear that about 100 times today. Michael, come all the way from South Africa. Can I get a photo?
Yeah.
Did you really? Yeah, no. Can everyone know?
She's got the photo there, but the photo does have my face in it, looking very angry and disappointed.
That's a great story. I love that. All right, well, look, we're going to play a little trail. We're going to do the news and the sport, and then we'll come back with more of Mr. Michael McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen.
The Chris Moyle Show. BBC Radio 1.
Apparently Michael was commentating during the news, but off mic you couldn't hear him.
Right.
And he also wanted to know why I was bouncing up and down on my chair. He thought I was listening to some music.
Mm.
But of course I was listening to the beat that makes Newsbeat.
That's right, the beat in Newsbeat.
There was a beat in Newsbeat. Yeah, it's on.
Can I suggest you rely rather heavily on Newsbeat reporters? You keep shifting to them.
Yes, no, absolutely, yeah.
Can you not handle the whole news itself? You can only do the beginning bit, and then you're like, this guy from Newsbeat has to take over now. I've introduced the story, but I feel like I'm out of my depth at this point. So somebody from Newsbeat, they have more. They're quite serious about news.
Yeah. I'm delegated.
I just do Mumford things.
Yeah. He's checking out them Sons of the Mumford.
Yeah.
He's too busy with it.
Yeah, but the weather was perfect.
Oh, thank you very
Michael
much.
Michael has come to Essex to see us because he's a lovely man.
Yeah.
And also, we hopefully will shift 100,000 units.
I've had a bed.
You what?
Sunbed. I've done the eyebrows, and I've had a bed.
You've had a bed?
A sunbed.
Are you the girl from South Africa again?
No. Right. I'm just from This Is Essex.
I'll just
whatever
say
it's called.
What? The only way
the
is Essex.
The only way is Essex.
The only way is Essex.
The only way out is Essex.
Massive.
Michael is here, and...
Are you struggling for a question?
No, I'm thinking about playing a game with you.
I love gameplay.
Do you? Do you really?
No, I don't. No, I don't know if I do now.
Yes, you do.
Oh, no.
Shall we play a game?
Your eyes have lit up and you're pressing things.
Let's play a game with Michael McIntyre.
Oh, no.
Okay? Now, the idea is that we're going to put you on the spot, so if you go...
No, I don't want to be on the spot.
Yeah, you are. So, and if you go... Okay, this is what we predict your reaction will be.
If I don't know the answer, can I mention my book? Every time.
If you don't know... Yes.
That's only fair, isn't it?
Okay. Hang on, that's a win-win scenario. If you don't know the answer, can I mention my book?
Yeah.
So you fail, and then you get a free plug.
Okay. Yes.
Can you stop pointing out logic?
Question number one. What is the name of your book?
My book is called Life and Laughing. It's available from shops.
When is it available from shops?
It's available from shops today. Right now, you can get it from shops.
Is it a great read and great value for money?
It's not for me to say, but my God, my God, does everyone say that?
Now, the real question is, and by the way, we fully expect you to go, I have no idea.
Okay.
So don't feel uncomfortable that you have no idea.
I know that I wasn't here for a quiz, and I also know that there's no prize.
Okay.
So I'm not... Yeah.
There is a prize. There is a prize.
What is
it's
that?
Your book.
Oh, brilliant.
Signed by us.
Okay, what a thrill.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Tina here.
Mm-hmm.
That's
do you recognise her?
Yes.
From where?
Sport.
No, but from somewhere else.
Oh, Tina... No, I don't.
I'm a bit disappointed you don't remember me, Michael.
You dated for 7 years. No.
Shall I give you some clues?
So the quiz is about people from my life I don't remember?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Tina, I don't remember
okay.
you, Tina.
It was about 5 years ago.
Right.
In London.
Okay.
Michael's wife is now listening, going, go on.
Yeah,
don't worry.
About
I've
a
not
month.
Had sex with anyone else
yeah,
ever.
No, it's,
and that's all documented in my book, Life and Laughing. A story of a man who never had sex with anyone apart from his wife.
I think it lasted a couple of months. It was next to a petrol station at the top of Old Street.
Oh, I know exactly who you are. Congratulations, we worked together on the ill-fated television Channel 5 show. That was last week!
Yeah!
That is correct.
Yes,
well done.
That was my first job.
That is right. Described by Heat Magazine as one not to watch.
Yes.
Do you remember they used to do that thing?
Yes.
In Heat Magazine, they used to have the top 10. They stopped doing it now. And it would say, and the worst.
Oh,
yes.
No.
And that was my first
that was our show.
It was our show.
I got recognised for the first time ever after doing that show.
Did
by
you?
A guy on the tube.
And by the way, I thought you were the best one there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you
always
said
predicted
that,
big things. But yeah,
very
we
much.
Were talking
well,
about
I'd like to take the opportunity to name everyone else who was in it. I think it's only fair thing is you said I was the best.
Well, do you know, I can't remember.
Oh, no.
So you can't remember either.
It was
brilliant.
But I remember
show.
You, of course, Tina. Yes.
Yes,
yes of course
yeah.
I didn't remember initially.
Sure, I'd like to come back. It was good. Great.
Now you do.
Am I one for one in this quiz?
I think so.
I'm out.
What did you do on the show? What was it?
I was a researcher.
What kind of a show was it?
What kind of a show was it?
It was, you don't remember?
No, I do. I'm seeing if you remember.
Oh, right. It was a show where you talked about celebrity gossip and you basically made jokes about people in the news, but it was always about Jordan.
Right.
And it was just the same rehashed jokes every week and it was watched
like
by...
Like a panel show?
Nobody. No, it was like Talking Heads.
It was on Channel 5.
Okay. Yeah. In the days when it was called Channel 5.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like, have you ever seen the weather on Channel 5?
Yes.
It's a little bit hotter than other weather.
Is it?
I'm serious. They tried to get viewers by upping the temperature.
That's brilliant.
Seriously, if on BBC it's like 16, Channel 5, 19.
Yeah, because it makes you feel better about yourself.
They won't go to like 2021. They won't be like absurd. Yeah. They'll definitely add on a few C.
I love that. That's great.
What about if the BBC say it's raining, the Channel 5 go, no, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. You switch over immediately and they go, no. Or if it's like really bad news, you go to the Channel 5 news, oh, it's not nearly as bad as that.
That's my philosophy of weather forecasting, actually. Just make everyone feel better.
I'm sure he'll be all right.
Yeah.
And the final question is...
The final question?
What's the name of the book again?
Oh, that's...
I don't know why I'm showing it to you, but I'm actually holding it up to help you.
That's got to be the easiest quiz question we've ever had. Oh, you've now covered the name of the book.
What are you going to do now?
It's called Life and Laughing, and it's about how I've always had the same face.
And and basically...
And you can read it in your impression of me.
If you... Have you done an audio book?
Yes, I did.
Why
it was
did you call
painstaking.
Me?
Do you know what happened? I said I don't want to do an audiobook because I thought it was wrong to have to write the book for people to read and then please read my book. I'm not going to read it to you. You don't want to come around and make a cup of tea and act it out. Can you just read the book I've written? And they said everyone does it, and I went on and I listened to yours.
Oh no.
Yeah. You, I have to be, you did have book voice.
I know,
I woke up in the morning and I went to Radio 1.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've said this loads of times before. The only time I sound like me in my audiobook is when I'm quoting myself.
Yeah, that's weird.
So I'll go, yeah. I woke up, it was Saturday morning. I thought to myself, oh God, is it the time to get up already? And I got up. <It's> like, and I can't help it.
I couldn't help it either. And it's 3 days of reading my own book.
I know.
In this weird voice that I didn't even know I had access to that voice.
Oh, you have one as well. That's good.
I feel suddenly became book guy.
On the second one, I kind of got a little bit bored with it, so we put jingles for the chapter names and stuff like that. I actually asked if I could have a commercial break halfway through the audiobook to make more money.
How long did it take you?
Oh, a couple of days, about 2-3 days.
Yeah.
But it's just
painstaking.
It's the weirdest thing. But the weirdest thing is, because when you wrote, I wrote, like yourself, I wrote my book, and then someone kind of, there's a copy editor just kind of like moves things around a little bit. But it's still, it's all my words. It's my tone. It's everything. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's exactly the same as yours. When you read Michael's book, you'll hear Michael's voice in your head telling you. And I always think that's a really good sign of you know, of a book. Says me, by the way. You know, that, you know, Shakespeare stuff. You can never hear his voice, and that's what let him down.
You can't hear his voice.
I've completely lost my train of thought now.
The copy editor.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. So, but then when you write the book and then you go to record it and then you're reading it. So you're reading your own words and there's a guy behind the glass going, yeah, just do you want to do that last couple of lines again? And I'm like, well, how does it not sound like me? It's me reading my words.
Yeah, but just go back and do it again.
It's annoying.
All right.
Well, I had a, you know, they go through all this copy editing and they write in the margin where they think, you know, grammatically things can be improved. And they gave it back to me with all the pencil marks. And on one of it said in the margin, this joke isn't funny. Like, you're not here to review my copy, you copy editor.
That's bad.
You copy editor review me. You're supposed to tell me if I need an apostrophe, not this joke isn't funny. Really annoys me.
I had to sit down with a lawyer for mine, because they went, well, basically, well, so it goes
I
to the copy
you had to sit down with a lawyer.
And then it sits down with a lawyer, and then they run through all the legal things, and they go, just come in for me. Come up at 1 o'clock, we'll have a meeting. And there's a fella there, and he's got a little document in front of him, and he goes, look, he says, most of these are questions, to be honest. So there's a few things that you either have to take out, and I'll tell you why, or you have to change it slightly or change your name. But the rest are just questions I need to clarify with you. So I've gone through and I've made notes where I think we might be treading into, you know, difficulty and legalities. So here we go. And on my life, we started on page one. And then it was page two, and then page four. We were there for 4 hours.
Page three was relatively harmless.
Page three was fine, by the way.
And just pictures.
If you're on page three, there's nothing you can do about it. See you in court. Right, look, we better play a couple of songs and then we'll come back and talk about Michael. And Michael is at a book signing today in Birmingham.
Yes.
If you're going today, try and muster up the best South African accent you can and bring your camera. That's it. Sing it, Michael. Come on. Oh, come on. No.
You can do it.
My singing voice upsets people.
No, it don't.
It could put people off the entire day.
Don't be silly.
It's too early to risk it.
I bet you've got a lovely voice.
I don't.
Okay, I believe you.
I've got lovely teeth.
You have got nice teeth.
I know.
You've got very, very straight teeth.
Teeth are my best feature.
Are they natural, your teeth?
Oh, my God. I was blessed with these teeth. They showed up when I was about 5 or 6. Oh. And from then on, it's like,
stayed there.
Oh, my God, your teeth are amazing. I thrust them out. Look at that.
They are, they're good ones.
I know we keep talking about Michael's book, but the photos are brilliant.
My favourite photo you can't talk about on air.
Which one?
It's the black and white one of me on the stairs.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we can talk about it, but we can't talk about what you say about it.
Okay.
There isn't a massive dog's head in it, is
there?
No.
But the photos are good. I thank my mum for that because I'm not a photo taker. I didn't have any, but she's got boxes and boxes and they all came up. And it was nice to write stories and find the photo that best matched the story. Like, there is a thing that where my parents got divorced. This was put in the Sun this week as mum ran off with builder. But it was great to find the picture of him actually working on our house. There's a picture of him rag rolling the wall where my mum and him started their romance.
He was what?
He was...
He was working on the house.
Right, that's all you need to know.
He was working on the house, and they fell in love. They're still together. He's at my home now listening. but it was nice to find the photo. It was great to find that photo.
Yeah. I don't even know what rag rolling is.
Yeah, I know. It's an 80s painting technique. Yeah.
Actually, somebody mentioned that to me last night when we were out in Essex. Yeah. I thought my luck was in. the first picture in the book is your mum, Matt. She's very attractive.
What are you trying to say?
That your mum's very attractive.
So wait a minute. You're now saying... what are you saying about my mum?
I fancy your mum.
Okay.
That's what he thought you said.
But the thing is, I don't feel any shame or embarrassment.
Nor should you. She's loving this moment.
Because at school...
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Your mates must have said, your mum's fit.
Yeah, and the PE teacher and the history teacher and the headmaster.
Said that your mum's fit as well.
Yes, it was quite obvious. Well, my mum was very young when she had me. She was 19 years old, and she was a very attractive woman. Girl.
But your dad...
Teenager.
Your dad is a very handsome man too.
Yes.
Right? But also, and I don't want to take us in a weird area, but
it is in a weird area.
But your gran is a very good-looking woman.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Is he? Dominic always provides balance.
That Great Dane is the most handsome dog.
But no, there's a lovely picture of your
yes,
grandmother.
Yes, she was a very glamorous
reclining
woman.
On the sofa.
Yeah, they're right, my glamour gran. What you have to take into account with regards to the picture of my mother is, of course, I said to my mum, you're going to be in the book, I need a picture. So, you know, she's gone and found the best picture, and it's a great picture, and she looks fantastic in it.
Oh, she looks really good.
And I had my book launch last night, and that was pretty much the first thing. Jonathan Ross came, and he said, where's your mum? Where's your mum? I want to meet your mum. I've seen her, but where's your mum?
Have you seen the picture?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Oh, I'm going to...
Have you not seen my mum?
No, yeah. I've seen the picture tremendous. Of your grandmother.
Right. Look at my mum.
Oh, Michael McIntyre's fit mum. Wow. Look at his fit mum.
She doesn't look old enough to have
high
had
five.
You.
Yeah.
No. Oh, high-fiving me!
I only inherited the teeth. Can I also just mention that if anyone listening wants to see how good-looking my mother is, it's in my book, which is available from Bookshop's Life and Laughing. Yeah. But you can't just open it. Or maybe I should have it wrapped up like they do with magazines.
Like a surprise reveal?
Yeah, well, no, you know when you buy a magazine, but you don't want people reading it in the shop. Yes, maybe I now have to cling film all my books.
Yeah.
Because people are only buying it to see my mum. Yeah.
But she's fit.
She is. Yeah. And she's going to be listening, and she'll absolutely love this moment. And I'm doing Paul O'Grady tonight.
Hi, mum.
And he said, can I talk about your mum as well?
See,
so my mum's a massive star.
We're all waiting for your mum to release the book. And then she'll have pictures of you in it, and we'll go, he's a very attractive boy. Yeah. And then, you know, all that. Will mum be listening now?
Yeah, she's over here. So
what's her name?
Her Cotty.
Cotty.
Yeah.
Hi, Cotty. It's Chris Moyles here.
Oh, that's really doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the wrong music?
It's the wrong music slightly.
Oh, no. Oh, this is going to be really nauseating.
Hey, Cotty. Chris Moyles here. Let me tell you, you're a very attractive woman. And I very much enjoyed looking photos of you in Michael's book, Your Son.
What happened there?
But anyway...
it's a weird area, isn't it? When somebody is putting on sexy music and saying a message to your mother.
I think that we're in Essex, and I think Norman always gets a bit rowdy about each other's mothers at some stage in the day here. Yeah. Let's start it early.
It's a compliment. Because, you know, I always find with these things, when people go, you can't say to Michael McIntyre, his mum's really fit. And I'm like, what's the opposite of that? Mm. Because the opposite would be... There's a picture of your mother in here. Jesus, what a dog. Oh, yeah. You know, I would never do that. But I think because she's not. She's really attractive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she will really appreciate that, and I think it's an excellent compliment.
Is she happy with the builder? Everything?
They're very happy they've been together 25 years. They've got three children.
All right, fine. I'm just asking. Jeez, you don't need to go on about it. Okay. Michael McIntyre's Comedy Roadshow.
I love the fact that we send you an advance copy and all you've come back with is your mum was fit.
No.
I kept saying all week, has Chris got a copy of the book? Yeah, Chris is definitely reading the book. Chris read the book. Will he talk about the content of the book? All you've looked at me and you've said, not you didn't even say it to me. You addressed my mother directly on radio.
We talked about paint. What more do you want?
No, you're right. There was a paint section.
You know, which granted, is actually page two of the book.
It is page two of the book.
It's proof that the book was opened.
No, I'm really grateful of you opening my book.
Can I ask you a question, by the way?
Yes, please.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
Okay.
Did you buy your Mac?
My Mac?
Your Mac.
Oh, the computer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, because it kind of like, I felt, because the first line of Michael's book is... I'm writing this on my new...
Come on, do it in my accent. Do your impression. Oh, you love doing the impression of me.
Yeah, but not when you're here, I'm getting
I'll do it. I'm happy with it. I like it.
Come on, walk back and forth.
Go for it. Go on. Give it everything.
I'm writing this on my new 27-inch iMac.
That's quite good. It's quite good.
You hate it, don't you?
Sorry.
You do hate it.
All right.
I've ditched my PC and gone Mac. I was PC for years, but Microsoft Word kept criticising my grammar. I can't do the laugh. That made you sound slightly Yogi Bear.
The laugh is essential, though. I was going to put the laughter in brackets every time I would have laughed at my own jokes.
You see, that's good. You should have done it. Well, look, Michael's book is out, and I absolutely tell everyone to go and buy a copy today.
So if only to see my mum.
Michael McIntyre's hot mum.
Thank you.
And handsome dad,
Thank you very much, Chris.
And massive dog face.
Massive face dog.
Huge dog face. And Michael with his face that hasn't changed since he was about five.
And his grand.
Oh, and his very glamorous grand.
Can I just, maybe it's time to be brutally honest here. We couldn't find any old photos of me, so I got other people's childhood photos and superimposed my actual face as it is today on the photos. And you're the only people to see through that. There are other people in the world going, that was my living room.
That was my cow picture and my dog with a massive bear head.
Well, good luck with your signing.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to the people of Essex for being so sweet.
And also, by the way, in case you don't have enough of Michael's material, if you've read the entire, if you buy the book and read the whole book, the last page then says, "Why not buy the three?"
That wasn't my idea.
It's unbelievable. Why not buy? Don't stop laughing, Michael McIntyre, the stand-up collection, and it's the. Three disc box set out on the 15th of November.
There you go.
There you are.
Thank just you so in much. Time for Christmas.
And when you watch, when you've watched all of the three DVDs, right at the end, there's an advert for the tour, and then you go.
There's no more adverts.
And
for
right at the end of the tour, he goes, "I've written another book," and it just goes round and round. Yeah. It's like X Factor. Yeah. It's 365 days a year. It just goes round and round and round. It's the auditions. It's the show. It's the single. It's
my fans are never going to be at a loss of what to buy.
Well, exactly. Christmas. Christmas is so easy if you're a Michael McIntyre fan or know a Michael McIntyre fan.
Yeah, I'm heading to Birmingham to go and meet some. I can't wait.
Safe journey.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show. This is an amazingly fun experience. It really is. I love this show. And I really love meeting Aled.
Really? Is that the highlight?
Yeah, a little bit.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
I'm amazed when people say that.
I like Aled. I like him. I like him. I like
you can system. Take him with you.
All right, he's going. There's plenty of room.
Why don't you go to Birmingham and just check the exit? Excuse me, you're from South Africa? No, that's fine. In the queue you go, that's fine. Do you have a camera on you?
I think I should have been on to that South African woman now, remembering what she said her name was, Vuvuzela. So maybe I should... there was a clue in that.
She's never stopped making that kind of bee buzzing noise. Have you loaded the CD up for me?
Yes, I have.
Which one? Track one?
Both CDs have the same track listing, so you can choose
all right,
between them.
Did you hear that? Both CDs have the same track listing, so we can choose between them. Because we've got to do the gold now, which we're doing right now. So here we go.
The Chris Moyle Show. The Golden Hour. International Radio 1.
Michael McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen. There he is.
The Chris Moyle Show.